The guests on Love Hurts occasionally use some adult language and go into some more intense subject matter. But that's kind of how real life works anyway. This is Love Hurts. I'm Brian Berlin. Today's guest is Stuart Laws. Stuart is a comedian living in London. Stuart was recently diagnosed as autistic, and that knowledge has helped him go back and better understand some of the ways he tried to navigate romantic relationships in the past. We also talk about mental health and honesty in the context of balancing and maintaining friendships. Hey, Stuart, how's it going?
Good, thank you. How are things in New York?
Good. I think you're officially the earliest I've ever recorded one of these episodes now. So, which for you, it's just the regular middle of the day.
Regular middle of the day for me. But yeah, so hang on. What time are we talking for you right now?
I mean, it's almost 8 a.m.
Wow. So we can't get too sexy.
I mean, we totally can. If you want to go there, I'm up for it, you know?
I'm cruising into lunch, so like
so
I feel
it's your
that
sexiest
you can't...
time. It's your sexiest time of the day.
I feel the lightest I've ever felt. I'm on my feet. I'm darting around. I'm a bit lightheaded. I'm thinking, wow, let's get sexy.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas you're like, what the hell has happened to me? Why am I speaking to a British guy?
Yeah, how did I end up here? which I guess is we became friends recently, and we've played some soccer football together.
We've bonded over soccer and then the great Tottenham Hotspur.
Yeah, Tottenham Hotspur, who are, you know, I don't know how to feel about them right now, but I guess that's how, as a Tottenham fan, you never know how to feel about them.
Yeah, I think that Tottenham set me up quite well. I say Tottenham are my first love, to keep it on the theme of the podcast.
Yeah.
But it's set me up for like a life of just being like, yeah, you might sort of do all right, but you'll never quite achieve everything you want to achieve. So manage your expectations. And I think that's really helped me.
Yeah, like everything you do in life now, you could be like, well, I've been a Tottenham fan, so I know.
Yeah, you can't hurt me.
Yeah. Cool. Well, I appreciate you being on and talking to me today. And yeah, what did you want to talk about?
Well, it's originally I was thinking I would talk about sort of a big relationship discussion point that's happened a lot for me as someone who is child-free, has always wanted to be child-free, and has had a vasectomy to ensure that he maintains child-free. I had a pretty serious relationship that ended because we wanted different things. We knew that from very early on. And I think that is an interesting and worthwhile thing to talk about. But then we were just chatting before we started recording, and it reminded me of a time that I started dating someone in my early 20s. And I think we went on 4 dates before eventually she said to me, Stuart, if we don't kiss by the end of this date, then I'm gonna just set us up as friends. That's it. We're just friends. Because I was so panicked about, I've never ever been able to sort of make that first move. It's something that's so terrifying to me to do, even if like all the evidence points to what you're doing, this is what you should do. I have to step out of my body, go across the room, have a little look as a third person, and be like, yes, that's why you're still standing in the rain for 20 minutes talking, because she's waiting for you to make a move.
This is actually something I can relate to quite a bit. So yeah, you could fully go down this road, and I'm sure I'd have plenty to share about too. So
and I don't so I was diagnosed about 6 months, maybe last a year, almost a year ago now, with autism, as being autistic. And then in hindsight, I'm like, oh, now I understand some of the behaviors that were happening. Suddenly it all comes together.
How old are you, Stuart?
I'm 39.
Okay, yeah. So it's, yeah, later in life kind of diagnosis of like when people usually would find out about this, like when you're a child, I guess, right? Or like that's when, I guess, a good chunk of people are finding out about it.
Yes, and it just turns out like, so the last 3 years has sort of been an ongoing process of like having discussions, sort of joking about it, to suddenly finding out about things like masking and stimming and sort of learnt behaviors and stuff like that, and being like, oh, and each time being like, oh, that's a new thing that I didn't realize was to do with it. that suddenly I'm like, okay, that explains that. And I think it just did tie into like this with dating. Like I could never work out what the intention of the other person was. And I have an autistic friend, and we have a joke after when we message each other to say like, to also then immediately put tone and intention straight after.
Like I'll make the joke, but immediately then say, this is a joke, just so you know that. Yeah.
tone, joking, intention, to subvert the commonly, blah,
yeah.
blah, blah.
Yeah, to avoid the actual real feelings that I don't want to talk about or something.
Yeah, like. Yeah. Yeah. And so this person, who I met them at work. I used to work at a cinema. I was a projectionist at a cinema. Back when film was still, celluloid was still a thing. And we started chatting at work, and it was like, you know, it seemed like we had like good chemistry, and it was like fun and interesting. And I'd had one relationship before that, and it, you know, that was it basically. And so I was like 21, I think, 2021. And so we started chatting, and then it sort of became like a, well, we could hang out sort of thing. But like at every stage, especially when you're young and you're sort of skirting around the issue, and you're at work and you're trying to not be obvious or overstep any lines, every single time the way you position it is just as tiny a step up the ladder as possible. So it's completely, you know, believable that they'd go, yeah, that sounds good, as friends, and then so on and so on, until you're just, you know, we had, you know, we'd gone on a date where we'd planned to break into a abandoned hospital.
Classic date.
Classic stuff. We were going to climb over. We got stopped by security immediately. And it was, you know, we'd sort of pretended that we were like a couple having an argument, and one of us had thrown our phone over the wall, and that's why we were trying to climb in. And obviously security did not believe us, but at the time just was like, it's just two kids, just let's just, they don't seem bad, let them away, get away. And then we got back to her car, and someone had smashed the window in and stolen the sat nav. And so we were like, oh, wow. So we drove back to hers and then got in my car, and then we just drove into London. We were not very far out of London. And then we just sort of walked around and talked until the sun rose the next day. And how can somebody go on that and not think that's a date? I don't, you know, that is like, by all traditional rom-com standards, when the sun rises, you're there on South Bank watching the sunrise like you're in the fucking Kinks song
after having this like whole night together.
Yeah. And just, I don't think we even had held hands or anything like that. You know, the key moment there is sunrises, lean in, kiss, bam, you're together for the rest of time. And I was just so terrified that I'd misread the situation that I didn't. Then we went on another date. And again, we'd do things like just end up in a park, sort of lying down, sort of like chatting, but not touching in any way. You know, went and watched a film at the cinema. Like after the cinema had closed, I put on a film and we watched that. And it's just,
which is also, that's like out of a rom-com, like that's out of like an indie rom-com of like, oh, I'm the projectionist, let's watch something, right?
Yeah, yeah. So much rom-com stuff. Like there was one, we were literally lying, you know, in a playground on like a climbing frame, looking at the stars, chatting. Every single time is perfect rom-com stuff, and I'm just like, this is not a romantic situation.
Yeah, and you're like, oh, it's nice to see you again, and you're like shaking hands at the end of all of these.
So eventually, yeah, there was one where I think it was the fourth one, I was dropping her back at hers, and she just said to me, Stuart, if we don't kiss now, that's it. And I, even in that, just did a panic like answer of like, yeah, yes, sure. Okay. And then obviously then my brain was like firing in ways that I obviously had no idea that this was like to do with neurodiversity or like to do. And obviously there's things about being shy, and this is like stuff that loads of people can relate to without neurodiversity explaining it. But I absolutely think it compounded the issue. And so I had to then have that discussion with myself of being like, well, she has actually just said that to you, so you now have to. But now it's like a real intense, like, well, now she knows it's coming, so now what if you fuck this up? Like, what if you get the trajectory wrong?
Yeah, you're coming in and you're like, oh, that's not your mouth, right? Like, it's just...
yeah. Here comes the airplane.
Yeah, and I guess that's there's probably more stress in that situation, right? Because the whole time, maybe... Like, it seems like for you, in these dates leading up... I mean, you're calling them dates, right? So, like, for you, there was a kind of romantic interest in this person.
Oh, I fancied the hell out
of it. Okay, yeah, yeah. So you were going on these dates being like, I love this person. I'm into this person.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm like, I don't know the sign. I don't know if I'm getting that sign, right? I guess it's like, is that an element of it? Is like...
Yeah, that's absolutely
Yeah, it's like, maybe I want to hold her hand, but her hand, I'm watching where her hand is, and it doesn't seem like it's close to where my hand is, so there's, I don't want to push that boundary, right? Like, you're doing a lot of as these dates are going on, I guess.
And so hyper aware of my own body movement. Yeah. It's like a thing that I've always been like, so like, you know, I can't, there's people that can naturally instigate touch where it just feels just totally like casual, whereas for me, every single fiber of my being is just like, stay contained and within yourself. And so, like, if I instigate anything like that, it feels like the most robotic, obvious thing that anyone's ever done. And it's, you know, I look back at, like, what my bookshelf looked like in my early 20s, and it was all to do with, like, and actually this person, she was studying psychology and studied psychology at university. So, like, we had a shared interest in that sort of stuff. But I was reading books about psychology and body language and everything like that, where it's just like, or at the end of The Usual Suspects, when he's like looking up at the board and seeing all the evidence of, oh my God, that's my life now. I've just been like, how did no one until I was like 37 go, Stuart, you might be an autistic little freak.
Yeah, it took that long just for people close to you to be like, hey. And I guess for you, you're in that place where you're like, I'm not actively making this diagnosis or awareness. And I guess maybe, you know, the fact that you're like reading books about this kind of stuff and trying to understand it is you again like trying to navigate those social situations in a way, right? And but not in a way you're like, oh, I need help to navigate the
it was like you know, I fall into that little valley where it's just like, well, he can survive without it and he's not going to publicly freak out, and you know, he might just be he's a bit odd sometimes, but and so it just can go unnoticed, especially if you're like, if you have introversion attached to that as well. And you know, a bunch of things like that. There's like easy ways for it to be missed. But then I look back at all of these sort of dating situations. Like I went on, you know, started seeing someone through Hinge. And even then it was like, I think it was the end of the second date where I genuinely had to step across the route, the car park to watch it from a third person. This was before I was diagnosed as well, to be like, that's why she stood here. You've had, this is the end of the second date. You've now seen each other for a combined total of like 5 hours. You know what, why else is she on Hinge? Like, you had to run through all of the logistics of it. So like, at that sort of age, doing it naturalistically, you know, early 20s, naturalistically, I think I had kissed 2 or 3 other people. That's it at that age. So it was just like, and I haven't really added to that total hugely, I must say. I haven't entered into a new era, but it was suddenly just like, you've got to now navigate this as someone, this is your work colleague. Imagine if you overstepped the line and they were like,
yeah,
what?
That's what I was going to say, right? With the Hinge situation, at least, like, I found, as somebody who also has had trouble navigating those, like, the lines and boundaries of things and not wanting to cross those, like, I could share my own versions of these stories, but like, I had my first kiss when I was 16 at summer camp, and
show off.
Yeah,
we've got it. Well, yeah, yeah, we've got a bloody stud here,
exactly.
Have we?
Yeah, she kissed me. She initiated it. I was shocked. I was like, oh, okay. And 2 years later, I was a senior in high school in America, and I invited her to my senior prom to be my date to senior prom. And she lived like 4 hours away. Like, you know, it was a thing where her parents literally had to like drive her to New Jersey where I lived to come to my prom. And they like, I guess, stayed at a hotel that night. You know, it's like, okay, here you go. We'll hang out and then we'll bring you back the next, you know. But
look, everything I can understand from American culture is, as a parent, the last thing you want is to drive your daughter to New Jersey.
And she's from New York, so not too, basically the same thing, but like, you know, it is a different, you're crossing a state line for sure of a different genre of people.
I know about New Jersey boys.
And so we go to the prom together, and then she comes to back to my house after, and that, you know, she's sleep, I think she's sleeping in my sister's bed or in our guest room, whatever. But like,
not because her and
bed was empty, right? Like, but she, we went in my room, and for until probably like 3 or 4 a.m. we're lying on my bed together, just catching up on like life in the last, you know, because we saw, we'd see her at summer camp and then like not see each other. And I was just like, oh, it's so fun catching up with this friend. And like looking back on it now, I'm like, oh, she was literally laying on my bed at 3 a.m. after going to prom, after driving multiple hours to come to prom with me.
Yeah.
And like, I'm like, whoa, I miss that. Like, I miss that. Right. And like,
oh, Gio, I can remember there was like a prom sort of equivalent at a school, near me that I got invited to by a friend, I think. And we were friends, but like, she kissed me on the cheek once, and we would hang out together all the time, and were like really good friends when I was like, 17, 18. And we went to that prom and we danced once and didn't otherwise engage in any sort of physical contact. And I look back at it, this is literally you saying that right now has made me remember that and be like, What the hell, Laws? How do you not notice any of this stuff?
Well, I think, you know, a little bit was also me like maybe getting rejected by people too and then being more in my head about it, right? It's like, oh, I liked a person and they didn't like me back. So then I was like, oh, I want to make sure it's like 99% certain before I'm making that move, because I don't want to make this person uncomfortable. I don't want to overstep something. And I think that goes back to the situation with the person at the movie theater, right? Where you're like, there's a wall in between us as like coworkers, as this and that. And you're like almost slowly brick by brick, like pulling apart the wall, being like, can I move this brick and it's still okay? Like, oh, let's go hang out as a group of friends together. And I'm like, oh, what if we just went as a group outing, but it was just the two of us this time? Could that be okay? Right. And it's like, what if we did something romantic? Could that be okay? And it's like this slow, like, can I make this feel right without pushing anything too far? Because again, you're saying it's like, yeah, we're coworkers. I don't want to make this person feel uncomfortable. And like how to navigate all that is a tricky thing when you're also in your head about every action you're taking, right?
That stealth thing, I think, is interesting. I think I've added the word stealth.
Yeah.
It's not to do, I've noticed it with a friend of mine. I was like the MC at their wedding, where so you're just like announcing the speeches, sort of doing all of that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And they said, do you want to say just a couple of words before you bring everyone on? And I knew Mark and Becky. I'm friends with them both. But Mark, when I was a teenager, was just like this annoying little squirt who'd hang around that I'd be like, oh, who's this annoying little guy? Like, what's he doing part of this? And then over the years, what I noticed, so they got married in, I think I would have been like 25, maybe 26, just one day in my life just realized, oh, I'm friends with this guy now. And so I'd in that little bit talked about how he stealth friendshipped me, and I just didn't know. He was always just this annoying like slightly younger kid who would like play football with us, sorry, soccer, and I'd be like, oh, he's a bit annoying. And then over the years, I was like, this is a good guy.
Oh,
and
I like him. Yeah, weird.
Yeah.
But I think there is this element of that, right? And it's like that, what you said about this, I know this all came from me saying, you talking about dating sites. And I think the idea of dating sites really helped me with that kind of stuff. Because I was like, oh, you want to go on a date and meet somebody. Like, I was always feeling that game of like, yeah, do you think of me romantically? And it was like, oh, at least if I'm going on a date with somebody I met on an online dating site, they're looking for a romance. I still don't know if they feel that way about me, but I know that's their intention is like.
Yeah, you say that. I did go on a first date with someone and it genuinely felt like we vibed pretty well. And I was like, oh, that's good back and forth.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, it's not necessarily someone that I definitely would sort of would see myself. They were like a vlogger and a gamer. So it was slightly out of my sort of like comfort zone of like type of person. But like they were fun and they were like, they had a motorbike and they were pretty, they had an undercut and a motorbike.
Yeah, like,
and I was like,
cool.
This person's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I was like, oh, that was good. We made each other laugh. It was sort of, is like, it was intended to be like an hour and a half. It was 3 hours and it just flew by. And then messaged her a little, you know, the next day or whatever. And she was like, yeah, we'd love to hang out again as a friend. And I was like, well, hang on. Weren't we on a, we're on a dating site? That is, wow. That's intense that I gave off such like, she met me with the intention of romance, had such a good time that she was like, nah, 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 friend.
too good to enjoy as a partner. And I think, well, maybe I think that's a lot of the, you know, a lot of that like spark that comes from like dating, I guess, and online dating is like, you know, you'll meet somebody and you'll be like, oh, they're kind of cute. They seem interesting in their profile. And then you meet them in person and you're like, oh, I could talk to this person for a bit, but I don't know if I feel the spark.
Yeah, I like that she hung out with me for a few hours to think, there is no way on earth I want to be involved sexually with
let
this
me
man.
Give it another hour. No, it's not coming.
But I would like to sort of cry on his shoulder at some point.
Yeah, I'd like to talk about the person who broke my heart next time. It's hard. I don't, it's like, that's, it's really hard to navigate that stuff. Especially because you're like, yeah, I don't know how I fit in this.
Yeah, I realized that like a majority of my relationships that I've been in have been like that slow onboarding or slow you're on ramp to a relationship.
It's your orientation.
Where it's like, yeah. Get to know them. Go, oh, this person seems pretty decent, and like that. Then does make it more difficult at the time.
Yeah. So do you feel like since you found out about your, like getting your like diagnosis, has it just, I mean, it feels like, I mean, the way we're talking about this, it feels like you had, you know, picked up tools and ways to kind of navigate this just being you, right? You're like, you're picking up tools of like, how do I figure this out better? How do I do better at this? But since like getting this diagnosis, does it make you be a little bit more like, proactive or thinking about this stuff, or like having a check-in of like, here's a thing in this situation, what could this mean? Does it make you take an extra step to think about it through that lens?
So I didn't get properly diagnosed until August last year, but I would say that I like knew I was heading towards that sort of, you know, pretty early 2023. Was like, I'm pretty sure this will get confirmed.
Yeah.
And so I'd say like, you know, anything in there, like I'd been on a couple of dates with people in that, you know, that time where I still had that moment where I was like, oh, we should kiss, and couldn't like make that move in person. And that it's almost like, and I know that a lot of people feel this, like written communication, or like, you know, when you're not having to look them in the eye or whatever, that makes it slightly easier. And so my current partner, I had to at one point go, look, I'd messaged a couple of friends, be like, who had, you know, known that we were hanging out. And I was like, I feel like there's something going on here, right? And they were like, yes, obviously. And I was like, yeah, okay. Not entirely sure. And then eventually just had to say, I feel like we should kiss, but I don't know whether or not that is accurate. And they had to just be like, yeah, I think, but not now, because you've just said that. And that's sort of taken away any sort of spontaneity or romance to it.
I guess bookending that the first person, the movie theater person, to say like, you need to kiss me now. It's like putting that pressure on you. And now you being like, should we kiss?
Yeah.
And they being like, yeah, I do want to kiss you, but not when it's like this feels this like sterile of a thing to be like.
Yeah, when it feels like an AI has just engaged in sort of communication with me.
But I love how there's that thing of like, yeah, I'm going to say yes to this, but like, let's then make it feel spontaneous in how we do it. But like,
yes, not. Yeah. And that felt really nice.
Yeah. To say like, yeah, I do feel these vibes, like kind of giving you that, the validation in that moment to say like, yeah, right, I feel this.
Yeah, it's sort of like, yes, that's accurate, but the way you've gone about it is insane. What the fuck are you playing at?
But there's something, it's something nice about knowing, right? Like I've because you, oh man, you put that stress, yeah, right? You're texting your friends being like, did you notice this, did you notice this, and they're like, yeah dude, yeah, this, there's something happening here. But it's like, again, knowing, having the information takes so much pressure off in a way, especially when you're spending so much time, like, again, looking at the signs and all that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely. 100%. And even in a relationship, knowing now, like, what my brain does at times, and I know that's sort of like creating a distance, as if I'm not my brain. I am my brain, obviously, but like, it sort of acts unexpectedly, or not counter to how I've been told brain should act. So like, you know, I'm occasionally now to be able to be aware of it and in a relationship and just say, oh, I'm struggling with this particular thing, or like, to even with friends as well, to just be like, oh, I can't come out tonight because my brain's on fire and I just need to not do that.
Yeah.
It just gives permission. And I think that will, you know, it's so difficult to be in a romantic relationship with someone, which is an incredibly difficult thing to be in. Like, people try to be like, oh, it's just, it's so when it's good, it's easy and it will all flow. No, there's so much work that should go into making it work and flow, that if you're unaware fully who you are, it's going to be impossible for you to allow somebody else to engage with you when you're not engaging with yourself correctly.
Yeah. It's funny, I was just talking about this with my therapist yesterday, but like, kind of that's, you know, like, I live with my partner and we've been together for years, and it's like, they're, you know, you have like an off day, or like, I, you know, I deal a lot with like anxiety and some sleep stuff, and like, my sleep stuff is bad, where like, there's days where I just wake up, and even if I like slept okay, I just like, it'll hit me and I'm like, I can't do anything. Like, I know like kind of where my like body battery is today, and it's like, I don't,
yes,
have,
yeah, yeah.
But it's like, I've had to like work on checking in with myself about that, where before I feel like I might have just been like, I don't know, like out of it. And then like somebody, like, I definitely have had dates where, like, I remember going on like a third date or somebody with somebody, and we went to a comedy show, and it was like, I was having a really nice time. And then I just hit that point in my brain where like, my brain was like, I need to be in bed right now. And I remember saying that to the person, just being like, hey, I'm having a good time, but I like got to go to bed. And it was 9 o'clock, and they were like actively disappointed. And, you know, it was like, I think at the time I didn't know how to navigate, like, and it's early, you know, early stages of meeting somebody where you don't want to.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
But like, now I can kind of have that discussion with my partner a little bit and be like, yeah, this is like not a good day for me today. And like, you know, yeah, as you said, like, oh, these plans I had with this person tonight, I kind of have to bail on them. And it feels like a little bit hard to bail on them, but I'm also, it's like that weird thing of like, oh, I got to take care of myself right now and what my needs are, and how to navigate that with friendships and relationships is always tough.
And the point is, everyone understands that.
Yeah.
Because they have it themselves. And to have like what people don't like is when there's an information gap where they're just like, hang on, I was going to go and do this thing with someone and now they've bailed and it seems like they don't like me, or like they don't respect my time, or like anything like that. But if you're like, if you have the language to explain that, and your friends know about you and you're open enough to discuss with them, then all of that disappears and they go, oh, I get it, fine, that's good. Because it also gives me the freedom if the reverse happens. My things,
yeah,
you know. And that's so important in a relationship as well, to be able to have that openness. It gives permission to not always be 100% at your best, which no one ever can be.
Yeah, I think it's like, that's the people in our lives who matter to us the most. I think like, they get that, right? Like, I had a friend, I called a friend like a week ago just to catch up, and, you know, she didn't answer, and like had kind of texted back like, hey, is everything okay? And I was like, oh yeah, just checking in. And then she was like, yeah, I just had a long day and I'm like out of it. like, can I call you tomorrow? And then she called me the next night. And then I said the same thing back of like, oh yeah, you kind of hit me how you were feeling yesterday. And I'm just like, can't talk on the phone right now. But it was like, it felt so nice then to just be like, neither one of us wanted to make the other one uncomfortable. So we either didn't say anything or we like had a weird phone call or something. And then it was like, you know, and it was just be like, great. We could be honest people and know that this is not offending. We're not hurting the other person or like offending the other person because we're just being like open about it. And yeah,
And I think that is, I don't know that the theme is love, I guess, romantic love.
Yeah.
But like that, like one of my oldest friends, you know, we've known each other since we were like 8 or 9. We really get on well. We write comedy together. Back in 2016, he was helping me move apartment.
Yeah, you can.
And
people will know.
Yeah. But we were grabbing lunch. Sorry. T-bone steaks.
Okay. Yeah.
yeah. And he said, and he took a deep breath and like had this. Like, right, I need to talk to you about this. And it was basically, we had like drifted apart. And it was partly because I had had like a real shit year the year before. And there was like a moment when I had tried to call him and he didn't answer and he works shift work. So it was like, you know, entirely like not anything bad or anything like that, just totally just normal life. But in that moment, my brain had just went, oh, he's not there for it. So like, and I just slowly distance, and obviously he reacted to that of being like, why is Stuart pulling away, sort of thing. And it became a bit more difficult over the next 6 to 9 months, and it took him being like, what's going on here, I feel like we're not really friends anymore, for me to be like, have the freedom to then say, oh, this is what's happened, and that's how this has got to here. And it just was such a huge reset that I'm just like, that's such a difficult thing for people to do sometimes, to have that conversation, especially, you know, without fully leaning too hard into the cliche stuff of like men talk to each other and stuff, you know, that stuff. But it especially in that way, you just go, oh, okay, that person's just being weird, I guess I'll just drift away from that.
Yeah.
You know, we are socialized to be more like that, I guess, less so these days. But as someone in my late 30s, you know, it's very much a thing, especially in the UK, the home of the stiff upper lip, to just be like, accept it and move on.
Yeah. And I feel that in the US too. I know that is sort of like, yeah, part of the UK culture. I feel like that has been created of like, but I have always like, I mean, this is separate, like the next big show I'm working on is sort of like my relationship with masculinity. And a lot of it is that of just like how we as men like interact with each other, but also like, you know, care about each other or like can talk about. And it's a lot of like me and my dad and how we interact or whatever. But like, you know, I think that sometimes like it's not, we're not given the right tools, I feel like, to navigate this stuff. And it's like you're trying to learn, like it's kind of the same way that I'm like learning to navigate a romantic relationship. I feel that way with friendships, especially male friendships, because I feel like, I don't know if you felt like this, I had like the same, probably in like middle school, I moved from Connecticut to New Jersey when I was in like 12, and I made a bunch of friends at my new school when I was like 13 14, and like those were my friend, like from 13 to going to college, university, was like, these are my friends. And I got to college and I was just like, oh, I don't know how to make guy friends, because I made all my guy friends when I was 12 years old and we just played sports together. And then that's how we became. And then we played video games together and that was our friendship. And I just like did not know how to navigate male friendships the same way I didn't really know how to navigate romantic relationships. Like,
yeah, 100%. And it sort of, you know, for me being on a sports team led to like a sort of a general churn of like new people who I might end up being friends with,
yeah,
because of having that shared interest. But like largely I am still friends with a bunch of people I was friends with as, you know, a 10-year-old.
Yeah,
there's a chunk of them that I'm still, they are my male friends. And then in comedy it was like, there was like a, it took me a long time to feel at home in comedy because I just didn't know how to make friends with people. I didn't really like a lot of comedians. I think comedians can be fucking annoying. And so it took a while, and then there'd be like a little bunch of them where I was like, oh, that person's great, I like their vibe, and like, you know, 10 years on now, I'm like really good friends with them.
Yeah. But I think there's that nervous, like I feel that nervousness when it comes to the, like the exact same scenario, right? Or like I meet a lot of people and doing a show or something and I'm like, yeah, I didn't vibe with this person, didn't vibe with this person. But the same way in those romantic sense, you're like, oh, there's something about this person that I connect with. I want to talk to them. I want to, like, is it weird to ask them to hang out? Like navigating that from like male friendships is weird and hard. And
that comment, you know, James, the one that you're watching their special, I gigged with him in 2008 maybe, and it was like he was one of the first people I gigged with where I just saw him on stage and just like, I want to be that guy's friend. And then he said that he'd said basically had the same sort of thing with seeing me on stage, and it was just like, great, well then that's sorted then.
Yeah, we got it. And I guess it's like, again, you're having that conversation of like, great, can I just say how I feel about this and can we talk about it? Great. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Let's be friends. And you're like, great. And it's like, yeah, I wish things were simpler than like, I guess maybe like us overthinking things is an element of it. But it's like, yeah, I feel like not everybody looks at things like that. And it's fun when you do connect with somebody in a way where you're like, oh, you see this way, I see it. Great. Let's be friends. And we might fall out of touch from like, as you were saying with your other friend, like, yeah, we might have a weird year, but it's like for them to then say like, hey, something's up. Like, I care about this friendship enough to say like, let's figure this out. It's like, then you kind of, I guess in a way you find your friends that are like kind of your lifelong friends through those ways.
Absolutely.
Too, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for sharing all this, Stuart. It was fun. Yeah. Fun going down this road with you. If people want to find out more about you or what you got going on, where can they do that?
StuartLaws.com, Stuart Laws Comedy on socials. That's all of the places. I've got a special out on 800 Pound Gorilla, which is a US label. And I'm currently on a UK tour of my new show, which I'll be filming for 800 Pound Gorilla in June this year, which is quite exciting.
Cool. Well,
then hopefully be able to gig more in the US if I can get a visa application sorted.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know last time we talked, you were talking about trying to come here and do some stuff. So hopefully you can do that. And then...
fingers crossed.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thanks again so much for doing this.
Thank you.
This is how we love. This is how we fight for something that's right.
Love Hurts is produced, hosted, and edited by Brian Berlin. Theme music by Mickey Hommel. Show art by Caroline Mallon. You can find Love Hurts on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you like the show, rate and review it on Apple Podcasts and tell a friend about it. You can find Love Hurts on Twitter and Instagram at @LoveHurtsPod, and our website is lovehurtspod.com. I'm Brian Berlin, and this is Love Hurts.